ministering and loving you and telling you how precious you are, because you are. Seems like you don't believe it. You are precious. Yeah. The kingdom of heaven is one of the things that Jesus spoke about so often. It's something that he said to us, you're going to bring into this environment that you're in. And this word this morning that I've been preparing on, every time I try and take it off from where the lights on the runway, as you're approaching, you can see this is the where it's going. And every time I said to Jamie, every time I felt like I've got so much more, I'd like to share on this or on this. And I felt the Holy Spirit just kind of saying, no, this is good. This is good. And then in the prophetic word that was brought this morning about our joy being found in him, the title of my word is about joy. And so just kind of God goes saying, no, there's one more light just for you, because you might still doubt me that there's something really wow in store for everyone this morning. And so I've brought this scripture this morning, but the title of it is The Joy That's Set Before You. And so that's why when I heard that word this morning, the prophetic word, I was encouraged. It was just God just kind of saying, don't worry, it's going to be good. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who found a treasure in a field. You remember that scripture? Kingdom of heaven is like a man who found a treasure in a field, hidden in a field. He found it and covered it up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And I sat there and said, Lord, but that's just too simple. That's too easy. We know that, God. And he started to take me on this journey. The first thing we see on that scripture, if you want to turn there, Matthew 13:44. That's our key scripture for this morning. And I was sitting there thinking about the scripture. And you know what I realized? How do you find a hidden treasure? You, in your mind, you're sitting thinking, we're going to have metal detectors, little sonar devices. You know, this is how we're going to go find a hidden treasure. But how do you find a hidden treasure in biblical times? I mean, it's hidden, right? You cannot see it. It's hidden. But that scripture says that he found it, a hidden treasure, which means that the opportunity presented itself to him. Either he stubbed his toe on a corner, brushed back the things that were covering it, the sand or the leaves, and out comes this treasure chest laden with the finest jewels and gold and silver and precious stones. Whatever that treasure was, it was hidden. But the opportunity presented itself to him. He was the one that stumbled across it. He was the one that found it. And I feel like God's wanting us to recognize that he is the God of opportunities that will present itself in our lives. And he wants us to grab them with both hands. There's a movie coming out, and I love adventure. There's a movie coming out called Hugo, and it's a you can mistake it for a kid's movie. And this little boy is breaking into a lock, into a room, and the girl who's going on this adventure with him says, "Won't we get into trouble?" And he turns around, looks back at it, and he says, "That's how you know it's an adventure." And I feel like God's wanting to take us on in a bit of adventure, where there is an element of, won't we get into a little bit of, what's the consequences going to be? There's a little bit of edge to it in our adventure. And when we stumble across these treasures, that God's saying, grab a hold of these opportunities with both hands. So I'm not talking about winning the lottery. Yes, Lord, present me with the winning numbers. That's my kind of adventure. Webster's definition of the lottery, I love this, a tax on people who are bad at maths. I'm talking about different opportunities. Within the last 2 weeks, I've had an opportunity to witness to a very prominent radio DJ, very, very well known. And I had an opportunity to to minister the gospel to him. The whole meeting was just about that for 2.5 hours long. Had an opportunity that presented itself. This treasure, boom, wow. Grabbed it with both hands. This within the last week, my kids got blessed with an inheritance from their great-grandmother. And I mean, it's a nice inheritance. It's not something, you know. And I sat there saying, wow, God, you're blessing. You're blessing, you're providing opportunities for the kingdom, for life, for their future, for so many things, God. And I feel like he's wanting us to become He wants us to become expectant for opportunities that he's presenting in our future. Now, husbands, you don't go think about what kind of inheritance you're wanting to get from your mother-in-law. You can't pray that because you can only get your inheritance if that person moves on. We're not having any of that in this church. We'll raise the dead and you get the inheritance back from you. But think about this. Wasn't it in this very room that we sat on these chairs not so long ago and we found precious stones sitting on the chair? Opportunities presenting itself. They weren't there before, they were hidden. And then there they were. There were gold flakes on our hands. There was times when the Spirit was moving with such power. There were manifestations. It was the hidden treasure of opportunities that I think, to some measure, we have grown so accustomed to that we've stopped becoming expectant for any more hidden treasures in our walk with Jesus. And so while some are looking for hidden treasures, and there's so many brilliant testimonies of what's going on in the collision group and the like, they're seeing healings and ministering the gospel, and it's wow. I said to Jamie, I long for those days when the ministry of the word of the gospel goes out and the presence of God doesn't just change in our hearts and we don't feel it individually, but there are things, treasures that start to manifest amongst us. And we say, yes, God, this is an element I'm saying God hasn't changed since then. I think in our own hearts we've lost that element of expectation of God, what are you going to do this morning? In and amongst us. We've had so many signs of breakthrough in the business area. How many people want to stumble across a hidden treasure within this next week? Yeah. You see the faith start to grow. Because we believe it. See, it says there, in his joy he sold everything. You know there was a joy set before Jesus. Hebrews 12:2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So what was that joy that was set before Jesus? Let's turn to Isaiah 53:10, because that scripture, Isaiah 53:10, will show you what that joy is. Are we there? Yeah. It says, I'm going to read from the New American Standard Bible. It says, but the Lord was pleased to crush him, speaking about Jesus, putting him to grief. If Jesus would render himself as a guilt offering, so Jesus offered himself up as an offering. He will see his offspring, speaking about you and me, Jesus' offspring. He, speaking about God, will prolong his days, speaking about Jesus' days. And the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper his hand. You see what the treasure was, the joy that was set before Jesus? This is it right there. His joy was you. Look to the person to your left and right. Just around this room. Jesus saw not just a multitude of faces. You know when you squint in the crowd, it looks all hazy. Not that. He saw you individually. Walking in your inheritance. He saw you walking in freedom. He saw you walking in joy. And when he hung on that cross, it was a bittersweet moment because his father, he felt like his father had left him, but his father hadn't left him. And he's and this the pain and the suffering of the cross was the bitter part, but the joy that was set before him was millions and millions of people looking through back through time at him and loving him. And that was his joy. And there's a joy that every person goes through. See, God knew that if Jesus was not crushed, because that scripture is very hard, eh? It's a hard scripture. It says it pleased God to crush him. If you're a dad, you understand that to do anything remotely painful to your kids is such a foreign thought. It doesn't even seem like it's part of who you are. But the scripture says that it pleased God to crush him. And that thing, it almost haunted me for a long time of my life. I was sitting saying, God, it doesn't make any sense to me that you would it would please you to crush your son. And the Holy Spirit said to me that without God crushing Jesus, he would never have had the benefit of having us as kids. That was what needed to happen so that we could be part of his family. And the Holy Spirit said to me, doesn't that just show you a little bit of how much God loves you? That he looks at you outside of time, and he looked at his son, and he said, this is much more precious than this, so I need to do this so that I can get you. It says that God, you can almost get the feeling like God, because Jesus says, the Father and I are one. We're one. Which says to me that God didn't even love himself as much as he loves us. He loves us so much more than he loved himself, that it pleased him to crush Jesus so that he can be intimate and fellowship and love and bless and spend every waking moment, when even when you're asleep, with you. That love, just, we haven't yet come to terms with how big a love that is. So what's our joy? See, when someone says to me, I got this message of grace, why don't we move on? It just shows me that they don't have an appreciation for what that means every moment of their life. Because, you know, I don't go through one single day without kind of saying, wow, God. You know that thing that you did this last week that you went, Jimmy, come on, man. You know the thing you went through this week that you went, That's that same thing that I go, thank you, Jesus, that you're not even holding that thing against me. That thing that you thought, that your mind went, come on now, Jimmy. It's not like you. Even that thing God's not holding against you. See, this is what this means for us. Our sins forever wiped away and righteousness restored to us. These scriptures I use every time because for me, these are my treasures. These scriptures that are coming up, they're my treasures. They're things that I lean on the whole time, and it never loses their sparkle to me. You know, when you've got a precious stone, ladies that have got big rocks on their rings all know, they just sit there and sometimes you just look at it and just, wow. You think you get bored of that sparkle. You don't. The next morning you're busy looking at it, checking it out. Big rocks. Now these scriptures are some of my big rocks, my gems, my treasures that I've stumbled across and have spoken to me again. 2 Corinthians 5:21 is one of them. And this scripture I don't think I'll ever get tired of. It says, for our sake, he made him, speaking about Jesus, to become sin, so that in him we might be the righteousness of God. See, when God says we're holy and righteous, others will say, yes, Jimmy, that's fine, that's good, I understand that. But you see, that's talking about a positional righteousness and not righteousness in the reality, because we still do puffy things. So the reality is we're not righteous, but positionally with God, yes, we are. And as I was thinking about that, the Holy Spirit took me to this scripture, Matthew 12, 1 to 2. It says, at that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. And Jesus didn't carry the scripture carries on, but he didn't say, no, you're wrong, or no, you're right. He took the subject, diverted it just a little bit. So he wasn't kind of saying, no, you're wrong. But Jesus also said, I've come to fulfill the law. So the Holy Spirit was showing me this week, kind of saying, well, it looks like Jesus broke the law in the reality of it, but Jesus says no, because we know that Jesus is greater than the Sabbath. You hear what I'm saying, church? So do we go with what Jesus said? He said, I have fulfilled the law, or do we go with what we see in reality, which is what we're seeing here? No, he ate on the Sabbath. His disciples ate on the Sabbath. He healed on the Sabbath. He ate on the Sabbath. So did Jesus fulfill the law, or in reality, or was it just positionally that he fulfilled the law? No. Do we go with what Jesus said about himself, or do we go with what we see in the reality? We go with what Jesus said. And he said, I have fulfilled the law. And so when he says, you are righteous, it's not positionally, it's in reality. I'll give you a couple of months to think that one through. See, the second thing we see is that if we are holy and righteous, there is no reason, no reason for your prayers, let me say this, not even prayers, because when you say a prayer, you're saying, God, won't you just heal this person, which is fine and well, but he has given you the authority to heal them. And so he says, don't ask me to heal them, you proclaim healing over them. And so when I say we are righteous and holy, in reality, we have a right standing with our Father, there is no reason for our proclamations of faith to be disqualified. Because when we say it is, it is. When we say it isn't, it isn't. Jesus says, I've given you the keys, the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind and loose will be bound and loosed. And so we have this ability, this is our joy, church. This is our joy that we have this freedom saying, enemy, you're going to try and come and bring doubt, and you're going to try and I'm going to look at the situation and say, but God, look at what we're seeing in front of us. And he's going to try and bring doubt, and we're going to stand on the finished work of the cross and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, in position and in reality. And so in Jesus' name, rise up and walk. In Jesus' name, be whole and speak those proclamations of faith. The second thing, as I said, is we are re-empowered to rule and reign in this life. See, what happened to our sins when we sinned? Jesus atoned for all. I'm going to use this pulpit here as a benchmark for the cross. This is a timeline from Adam when he first fell to where we are somewhere over here. Hebrews 7:27 says, once and for all. John 1:29 says, behold the Lamb of God who has come and removed the sins of the world. He hasn't just pushed it one side. He hasn't just covered it up. Because in the Old Testament, when you were atoned for sins, you had a covering. But that would only be limited to the next time you sinned, then you had to go make another sacrifice and get another covering. And then another covering. And you were continually making offering after offering, so you can get a covering after covering. But as Hebrews says, this one offering, this one atonement was once for all. All sin, all mankind, before, after, once for all. And so when we see that John was seeing Jesus and he said, behold the Lamb of God who has come to remove the sins of the world. Psalm 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. There's a removal of sin. So while we're sitting on this side, at the point of our confession of faith saying, Jesus, Son of God, you have paid for all my sins. At that moment, your sin from here on was put upon him on the cross. That thought you said, listen, sometimes I say things I think about. And that gets me into lots of trouble. But the thoughts you thought, and the things you said, and the things you did, sins of omission, sins of commission, all of that, once for all, put on Him. So let me ask you then, right now, where we're living right now, where is your sin, if you understand that scripture? On the cross. But now let's take this further. It says the Holy Spirit raised Him and left sin behind. See, Romans 8:11 says the Spirit of Him. Sorry, wait. Let me go back one scripture. So our sin is on the cross here. Hebrews 1:3. This scripture has just blown my mind. I'm going to read just a portion of that. It says, when He had Himself purged our sins. The word purged is the same word. It's a medical term. There's a couple of terms that it's used in. It's a violent expulsion. You get that on some of your email things where it says purge email. It means just get rid of it and you cannot get it back again. So it says that Jesus on the cross, right? It says that He went to the lowly places. I'm going to just take a step down here. And it says that He Himself purged the sin that we had done over here on this timeline, that which was once for all put upon Him. When He went down, it says He purged the sin. So let me ask you now, where's the sin now? Well, wherever Jesus was. In the lower places. Where the enemy resides. Do you want to know how he knows, the enemy knows, about your sin? It's cluttering up his lounge. His bedroom, his dining room, wherever he goes, there it is. Because Jesus took it all, once for all, on the cross, went down and said, here, I'm sick of this, you have it. Boom. You caused this, you have it. Was raised again in glory. Free, pure, spotless, beautiful, perfect. And was raised to the right hand of God. And so this enemy that comes around when we see these things, oh, I had this naughty thought. And he comes to bring doubts, and he comes to bring accusation. He knows that. Because it's messing around his whole kingdom. And he wants to try and get it out. Put it back on you. You just go, once for all, hello. You have that. I'm not having that. You have that. That you started, you keep it. It's yours. Freely you've received, just keep it. So where's your sin now? Where is your sin now? It's there. The enemy's going to try and put it on you to say, you're a terrible person. You know, you did that thing. You shouldn't do. Oh. If you walk with that, you're taking it back. Where Jesus left it there for a reason, that you could be free to walk in freedom and love and peace and joy. That thing which you think disqualifies you, from living a righteous lifestyle, was put on you illegitimately. Don't receive it. That thing was finished, paid for, settled on the cross. And that is why God says He remembers our sin no more. That scripture used to worry me a bit. God, but you've just seen what I've done. How can you not remember this? How can you not remember it? Because you know what? God isn't there where your sin is. He's not there. He just goes, I can't remember because I'm not there. Are you getting this, church? He's going, this sin that you've just done was transferred onto the cross. Jesus expelled it back in the lower places. God's not there. He goes, I can't remember it because I'm not there. And that's why Romans 8:1 says this. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. None. There is no reason for our proclamations of faith to be made null and void. The enemy wants to bring doubt and guilt. But we don't receive that. We receive, there is now therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Can you feel the joy? That's the joy that's set before us. We can live in this place every moment of our lives. You see, the man, that scripture says he found this hidden treasure. In his joy, he sold everything that he had. Remember I told you I had that appointment with that radio personality this week? And he asked me a question. He said, do you love God more than you love your kids? More than you love your wife? And I said, yeah, I do. And he looked at me, he's like shocked. He said, I can't. I can't make that jump. I said, you know what? I said, for two reasons. Number one is God will never drop me. My kids, my wife will always drop you in the sense of that there'll always be a mistake, you know. And my son this last week, he's got ways of just, oh, Kale. Sorry, I didn't mention his name. But you knew which one it was anyway. We're reversing down my driveway, and the next minute the back door opens up, the seatbelt's off, and he starts walking out the... And I lose it. I'm left, what the hang's going through your mind? How do you get from, this is a good time. This is taking too long, Dad, anyway, I'm out of here. I freaked out. I lost it. And I know what you're thinking. Yeah, one of these days, I'm going to be the pastor you all hoped I would be. One of these days. Maybe in my next life. I'm joking. Pastors don't believe that. The second thing I said to him was, God will never drop you. First one. The second one was, I know he loves me so much. I said to him, I said, you know what? Don't put God first. It'll be an involuntary reaction. When you come to a realization of how much you are loved, to that measure that you are loved, I can see a couple of people got shocked when I said that. Yeah, don't put God first. Whoa, what? No, because in you, I have to put God first and I have to do God this. But when you realize, my goodness me, once for all, no more condemnation. Oh, I'm so loved. Oh, it's just no brainer. God comes first. Because no one's going to love me to this measure. Ever. It's impossible for me to love my wife to that measure, my kids to that measure. It's impossible. And what happens is that I respond. I go, wow, God. Wow, you all. Me, you all. And words fail you and you start talking in tongues because that's all that's left. Bah, 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 bah. Is this man drunk? No, he just loves God. See, this guy, when he found his hidden treasure, he sold all that he had because it was an involuntary response. He couldn't help himself. This treasure was too glorious, too wow. This treasure was too glorious, too wow, for him to not sell everything. And when I'm speaking now, some people here have never ever come to their realization of how much your dad loves you. And you've never wanted to put God first because you haven't understood how much he loves you. I want to say this. You don't even have to say a prayer. Scripture says all you have to do is believe. And you know, you could be sitting in this place right now, and someone's been bugging you to say, come up to the front, come up to the front, come up to the front. You've got to pray this prayer. You've got to raise your hand. You know what? The fact that you've just believed this. The scriptures say you're a new creation. You are no longer the same when you first walked in here. Because you've believed how much he's loved you. But you know what would be a good thing to do? In your joy of realizing that, tell somebody. Your friend, your wife, your kids, just tell them. Watch that joy grow. Amen. In conclusion, I just wanted to say this. Can those that are coming up to take up the offering, you kind of say, Jimmy, that doesn't make any sense. I believe God has a joy that's set before us to do in every single aspect of our life. And I felt God say, move the offering right to the end. That was one of the first things I felt for this word. And he said this. He says, if we don't find it a joy, we need to ask God to show us the joy in it. And let me tell you something. I want to tell you a little bit about something that you probably don't know about, what happened over the last couple of weeks with your giving and your offering. This month, there were a good couple of pastors that came around. They've been battling financially. They've been no income for some guys, haven't had a salary for a couple of months. And we had an opportunity to host them here, and we had a little breakfast set aside for them. Some people in the church, we came around, we ministered to them, we prayed for them. We showed the love of God to them. Your giving that you did over the last couple of weeks, there was joy that resulted out of your giving. Can we just hold on to the bags just for a second? We had some razor wire put up here. I don't know if you noticed. The car guards take a big risk. Big risk. Every time they come, they put themselves on the line here so we can sit in fellowship here. And I had so many guys come up to me saying, Jimmy, thank you so much. It just makes us feel so much more secure. Their joy is as a result of your giving. We had a whole lot of members use this facility during this month. Not only on Sundays, but for home sales. We've got guys from YWAM that came. They use this facility almost every day of the week. They don't have a place to stay. They've been battling to find a venue that they can actually sit down and say, let's worship. We want to send out ministry teams to go minister out into various places. Because of your giving, there's a whole lot of people whose joy has been made complete. Because you don't see the joy that we get to see, those that are working here every day of every week, I wanted to show you just a little bit of the joy that we're seeing because of your generosity. So that the joy that's set before you now, saying, God, I've got an opportunity to make this next month to make someone's joy complete. It's just a symbol. It's just a gesture of this joy that you've overwhelmed me with. So take your offering in your hand that you've had prepared for this morning. Lord, we just thank you for this joy that's set before us. This treasure, these gems that we've got in store for us. This week is as a result of what you've done for us on the cross. So we're giving this time out of a joy because we have seen so many people that we'll never even get to meet, their joy being fulfilled because of our generosity. And we want to see more joy in this place. We want to see more joy being sown out of this place. This place is the lighthouse that you've called it to be, to emanate your glory, your joy, your light to this community and to so many other communities, Lord. We thank you because you first blessed us, because you first loved us. We're able to give in the name of Jesus. Amen. Can we take up the offering? I'd like to pray for some people now. Are you guys ready? I felt God saying, some people are going to stumble across hidden treasures this week. And you know what? If you had faith to say, yes, it's yours. It's yours. Not because you had to say yes, but because you responded to the word of faith that said, this is for you for this week. Hidden treasures, hidden treasures. Stand to your feet if you want hidden treasures. Hidden treasures. For those that are in business, that are asking God for businesses, and you're expecting hidden treasures in your business, lift up your hands. Lord, we speak testimony over this church. That the testimony of this church would be, our God is with us. So Lord, we speak to the businessmen of this church. Hidden treasures, opportunities presenting themselves this next week. Avenues of business, avenues of debt being sorted out, avenues of staffing issues that need to be rectified. We speak wholeness over business, Christian businesses in this church in Jesus' name. For those that are looking for opportunities, hidden treasures this week for ministry, would you raise your hands? Maybe you have a loved one that you've been crying out for a while now, and they've been constantly blocking you the whole time. Lord, we speak opportunities of witness to go out from this church this morning. We speak opportunities of glory and life to come through us into other people's lives and lives be transformed. Powerful people, Lord, people that have been influencers in this community, I speak opportunities for choice meetings where the ministry of the gospel can go out in the name of Jesus. If you're looking for opportunities for finances, would you raise your hands? Thank you, Lord, that just as my boys had an opportunity to receive an inheritance, Lord, a surprise figure. Lord, would you surprise us? We can only give out to the measure of what we received. We can only love to the measure that we recognize that we've been loved. Lord, show us in just hidden treasures that you have in store for us this week. Lord, we speak a testimony that everybody that stood up this time that have said, Lord, we want opportunities to present itself. I just feel like this. I was chatting to Marcus this morning, and he was saying how his parents' house has been battling to sell. I know that there's some people that have been just finding a little bit of a lack of freedom in the promises of God that he has spoken over our lives. If you find that there's just something that's been hindering you in a lack of freedom, would you raise your hands? We speak closed gates open in Jesus' name. Kingdom of God is forcefully advancing, and those with a forceful mindset will lay a hold of it. We're not asking God to open up these gates. We're not asking God to bring down these walls. We're saying walls come down in Jesus' name. Gates be open in Jesus' name. Flow. The kingdom will flow. Flow, 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 flow out to so many more. And Lord, for all of us, as we come to this revelation that you are our joy, that this message of grace is for every moment of every day, that we would revel in your forgiveness and your love, and that what you have empowered us to do, Lord, we will forever give you glory. For today, we say thank you, Jesus. Let's say it together, thank you, Jesus, for your love. We speak testimony for this time next week in Jesus' name. Amen.